You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I thought the Giants would beat the spread. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. That includes Jessica Mendoza at 9:10 a.m. Eastern to preview the AL wild card and tell us who will be the next manager of the Mets. Just what I needed tonight, to lose all this sleep watching the Yankees and the Red Sox, and also, like,
it'll be over in the third inning.
Indigestion, and that's if the Yankees win. I have indigestion. You know? Yeah, like if they lose,
it'll be over in the third inning. Don't worry about it, Max.
Mike Tannenbaum giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We're going to get Mike's report cards for rookie coaches and quarterbacks, including Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson. But first, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Joe. Where's Bucky Dent? I'm a Boston guy. I grew up. I have a few words for Bucky Dent.
Boston guy.
Is that the play-in guy?
Mm-hmm. Bucky Dent, 1978.
He was the guy that cheated, put cork in his
mouth. I'm messing with Max.
There's no cheating. Yeah, see, Key, what happened was the Red Sox were 14 and a half games up on the Yankees in the middle of the summer, and then the Yankees came all the way back on them, tied them, and beat them on the 163rd game of the season, and won the World Series to go back-to-back. That's right. That's what happened.
Well, the Dodgers will be going back-to-back this year, so that's not a big
They're going to be hard to beat.
We'll see.
Mike, your biggest takeaway from the Chargers' win last night?
Yeah, I just tweeted about it. According to our own ESPN stats, did you guys see what Justin Herbert did to the running backs and tight ends? He was perfect last night. And when you factor in when he could get Eckler and Jared Cook involved in the passing game, they're going to be unstoppable. Because when you have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, there is nobody in the NFL, including Carolina, Dallas, that can match up. You could take away their first target. You could take away the second. You get Eckler and Cook involved in that passing game. I believe what we saw last week in Arrowhead was almost like passing of the torch. I think the Chargers are the best team in the AFC West, and I think they have a real chance to go to the Super Bowl this year at home, because I don't see how Kansas City in a playoff game could defend the Charger offense.
Can you do me a favor, Mike? Can you stop listening to me when I talk about the Chargers and the trees that they have? I explained this probably 30 minutes ago,
he
Mike.
He loves tall receivers.
I just said, when you have trees that are that big and that good, it's hard to – you don't have – them dudes 6'4", 6'3", 6'5", and the DB average size is about 5'10". You can't. You just – there's nothing you can do with
that.
You
got a little back that could hide behind the line and stuff.
Nothing you can do with that.
And Eckler, again, he was 16 of 18 for 166 and three passing touchdowns. To the running backs and tight ends, I'm just telling you, like, when you're building a defense, guys, that becomes almost indefensible. And we're not even talking about Herbert's athleticism. So if that young offensive line, Rashawn Slater at left tackle, if they can play average – I think this Charger offense is really, really hard to stop.
Why does he look so poised and calm? He looks like a young Drew Bledsoe to me. Early stages, Boston, New England Patriots, Super Bowl Drew Bledsoe. Not Drew Bledsoe Buffalo or Drew Bledsoe Dallas. That early stage Drew Bledsoe.
Yo, Key, let's go back to a guy that we both revere, Coach Parcells. He always said, hey, I want to take quarterbacks out of college. 30 or more starts, they just don't put those guys out anymore. And Justin Herbert was a guy that played a lot of football at Oregon. And to your point, like, he's hitting the ground running because he's played a lot of football. And guys like Tua and some of these other young guys, their grades are incomplete. They just haven't played a lot of ball. Justin Herbert's really smart. He can process fast, but he's more experienced than a lot of these other
rookies. Trey Lance, Haskins, all these guys look good for a second, right?
Yep. Yeah. Trey Lance played one game last year. How do we expect him to come in and play against the varsity and look great? It's going to take him a minute.
I agree with you. They're the best team in the AFC West. Are they the best team in the AFC? Because I think we just discount the Buffalo Bills and how talented they are.
Well, they just, you know, they had a bye. They played the Texans, so... But we'll know a lot more next week because they play the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And, like, to me, again, Kansas City's fatal flaw is, like, how are they going to get off the field? Like, Philadelphia went up and down the field against them last week. And
Mike, isn't it the same every year, though, with Kansas City? They start, their defense looks awful. And by the time the playoffs rolls around, they're bend but don't break, right? Like, they seem to play better defense, at least to my mind, since, let's say, 2018. The course of the season, they get better and better defensively.
But eventually, you're going to get bit. And you eventually get bit when you keep playing that way. You can't keep sticking your hand in the water and playing around thinking nothing's down there. And that's what Kansas City's doing.
Oh, they're probably going to be. It's a good chance they're 2-3. But then I think, like, they might win 8 straight. You know, like, they're that kind of team. The Chargers clearly are well-balanced. Both sides of the ball, they have playmakers, Mike.
Yeah, and when you look at their defense guys, with all three levels to me, like, Derwin James is a very underrated player. He's the quarterback of that defense. And if he's healthy and he can get through the season, he could go erase Travis Kelce, which is hard to do. But when we start talking about matchups, look, they got Joey Bosa, they got some other young defensive linemen. But to me, Derwin James is a difference maker for them. And I just think they're a more complete team than the Chiefs. Like, yeah, I think the Chiefs could score on anybody. But I think when we talk about this game later in the week, this Chiefs-Bills game, I don't see how the Chiefs are going to slow down that Bill offense.
No one else. It's going to be a great test for the Chargers, too, considering their next opponent are the Browns, especially with the way the Browns pounded on the ground with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
No doubt.
You going to the game?
Key, I want to hear from you and Mike about this. And Jay, also, obviously, Josh Allen's an excellent quarterback. Obviously an excellent quarterback. You like Derek Carr a lot, Key. He's played very well this year.
I did.
Yeah, jeez. He threw the pick late. But guys, when I look at Justin Herbert, like, Key, we talk about this on this show sometimes. You know what? Well, who's your top five? Who's your top 10? Sometimes there's not 5 or 10. That's arbitrary just because they're round numbers. Yeah. Sometimes there are 4 dudes and then a little drop-off.
Yeah.
To me, Herbert has talent that could put him in tier one with guys like Mahomes and Rodgers.
They just did it. They've done it a little bit longer. Right, Rodgers has done it longer than Mahomes. Mahomes hit pay dirt early, so he goes up there with Rodgers. Brady is up there because Brady's the best to ever do it, and everybody passed on him. He's won championships, and he's Brady. So he goes in that bucket. And then there's just a bunch of other guys that, like, if I was picking, and Mike was working with me, and he was my general manager, and I'm sitting there, and there's a board, and we're sitting at 6, and we're looking at a quarterback, and all of a sudden we trade down because there's Dak Prescott, there's Josh Allen, there's Justin Herbert, there's Kyler Murray, there's Carr. And then those guys go on a run, and we're stuck with Justin Herbert. We're still high-fiving. If we stuck with Dak Prescott, we're high-fiving.
I just think of everyone you mentioned, Mike, to me, of everyone he just mentioned, and some fantastic quarterbacks. Kyler Murray's a favorite to win MVP. Obviously, Dak's excellent. I think Herbert has the most upside as a pure talent.
Yeah, so shameless plug here. Every Wednesday morning on ESPN.com, I have to rank all quarterbacks. So we're doing my homework for tonight, and I appreciate it. But to Key's point, you could take the best 8 quarterbacks in the game right now, and I have to do this every Tuesday night, and you could shake them up, and I can make an argument Kyler Murray is the best. You can make an argument like the way Dak's playing right now. The top 7 or 8.
Lamar this year?
Yeah, Lamar played unbelievable against Denver. I mean, that's a great example, Max. So if Coach Belichick was here, he would always say, if we're going to lose, our opponent's going to beat us left-handed. Vic Fangio said, hey, Lamar, I'm going to keep you in the pocket. And Lamar stay in the pocket, hit a couple of home runs to Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown had a terrible game against Detroit. To his credit, came back. But yeah, to Key's point, the top 8 quarterbacks to me are interchangeable.
Yeah.
And after that, it falls off a cliff. And that's why I don't see Cleveland making a long run deep in the playoffs, because there's too many of the talented quarterbacks right now. When you think about Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Herbert in the AFC and the NFC, like, take your pick. Rodgers, Brady, Dak, like, you, the
Murray.
Kyler, yeah.
Maybe Stafford gets back going.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, related to Denver, what did you think about Mike Fangio's comments to Jim Harbaugh just about, you know, them running that 5-yard play to end to kind of keep that record going for, you know, multiple games for 100-plus yards?
You know, Jay, well, as a former player, I'm sure you can relate to this from this standpoint. I think Vic was talking to his locker room, like, I got your back. And it's about, you know, player health and safety. And, you know, John Harbaugh, to me, He, you know, those guys just don't care. And it was interesting. He goes, you know, because Vic worked for Coach Harbaugh in Baltimore a number of years ago. And he's like, hey, maybe it's not important to him, but it's important to us. But I think the challenge for Coach Harbaugh is, what happens if somebody got hurt on those plays? And, you know, there's such an emphasis on player health and safety. Nobody knows that more than Baltimore. They have probably more injuries than anybody.
Nobody's getting hurt on that, though, Mike. You know and I know. They're running. They're sealing off the left-hand side. They're not even chasing. Denver's not even chasing. They're like, eh.
Also, why is that Fangio's business?
Well, he used to work for Harbaugh.
No, no, but so, what I'm saying
wait,
is.
Wait, but wait. He used to work for Harbaugh.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine what has gone on there. He no longer works for Harbaugh.
That's a good point.
So when Mike brought that up, I was trying to, in my mind, think about where they ran in each other at. He worked for him before.
You know, I hate to do this because it's a little bit off topic, but we were talking about the quarterbacks in the league, and we haven't gone over this game a lot. Joe Burrow has not only was he's never like somehow in that conversation, but he's doing things now. He has his team at 3-1.
Cincinnati, though.
It's Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. That makes it more impressive to me. He has Cincinnati at 3-1.
Yeah, and he is quick-minded. He gets rid of the ball well. But my concern for him is he built to last. And I take no pride in saying this, but you know, you go back a year ago, a few of us predicted that he was going to get hurt. Bad offensive line, and they were throwing the ball way too much. He's come back to his credit. I just don't know if he has a sustainable body build.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have great athleticism. And that, to me, he's not a grown man like some of these other guys.
I've been around these type of dudes too long, man. For real, though, because
no, it's true.
His body, you know how you see me in the chair messing around?
Yeah.
It's just it doesn't look – Herbert looks.
Yeah.
He just looks strong.
His statuesque.
Everything just looked good. Joe Burrow just he almost looks like, to me, he could fold at any moment with a good hit and a good shot. Opposed to Herbert, who's strong and
stands up tall in the pocket. Yeah.
Key, you know who else is like that? I was at the first practice for Justin Fields at Ohio State, and he goes right by me. And I'm like, I'm looking at Cam Newton. I'm like,
what did I say? Yeah.
How in the world did he not start at Georgia? Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, you look at Roethlisberger, you look at Cam Newton, they are grown men. This is the varsity. Like, Justin Fields looks like the varsity. Joe Burrow doesn't look like
and
the varsity.
And I go, the first thing my eyeballs go to is the calves.
And all athletes look at the calves.
Look at the calves.
All
I
athletes
see
look at
what
the calves.
Calves look like.
Yeah, I know. It's true. All athletes look at the calves. It's a fact.
I got to go to the calves. Whenever Justin Fields is warming up in training camp, first thing I used to tell Han when Han was working with us for a little bit
there,
I'd say, he just looks right.
Yeah, but I think Burrow, that thing you're talking about, whatever it is, has people underrating the dude.
But, right. But Max, let me say this. If we owned an NFL team and ran one, we don't want a team of exceptions. If we were going to have an exception, it looked like Kyler Murray because he has world-class athleticism. If we were building a team for the next 10 years, take Justin Herbert.
Play the odds.
Yeah,
play
exactly.
The percentages.
In your world, let's take the heavyweight. Why would you take a middleweight like Joe Burrow or Tua, guys that aren't built to last? And when you take an exception like Kyler Murray, he may be the best athlete on the planet right now. Like, you know, you could really make an argument like, guy was a world-class baseball player, and he may be the MVP of the league.
And you look at certain guys, and you go, well, that guy's really good. Yeah, that's true, but you can't have too many of those.
Right.
Because that guy, he's not going to hold up.
And if he does beat the odds, he will have beaten the odds. You're not going to get rich trying to take million-to-one shots, right? Okay, let's get your rookie report cards and start with the coach on Monday Night Football. Mike, what grade do you give the Chargers' Brandon Staley through week four, Mike Tannenbaum?
I'm giving him an A-. Okay. I think the game hasn't been too big. He had a great game plan against Kansas City. The only thing you could quibble is, should they have taken a knee and kicked a field goal on the last play of the game? But beyond that, he's been aces so far.
Okay. Robert Saleh.
I'm giving him a C+. I think they can manage Zach Wilson a lot more. I think they're throwing it way too much. I think he's brings energy and a positiveness, but I'm encouraged, but we have a ways to go.
Yeah, I think Mike is right about this. Robert Saleh, great coach, ways to go. I'm still a little concerned about long-term head coaching ability because I just don't know. I don't know, and we'll see what happens over the course of the season.
Can we just celebrate a good win for the Jets? Like, can we just be happy instead of coming out?
It's New York, Jay Will.
I understand. Let's understand we're talking about the Jets. Like, let's give him an A just for the performance he had in their last game.
Never celebrate. Giants fan.
Sorry, Jay. I got to jump in here. No way they get an A. They tried to give that game away so many times.
Typical Jets.
You won. Just be happy.
No.
Jets fan. There you go. That's a real Jets fan right there. You know, never happy. Speaking of the Jets, Zach Wilson, Mike Tannenbaum, what grade do you give him?
B-. I think right now he's a 3-point shooter and he needs to hit the layups. Like, hit the ball in the flat. Like, make first downs, not touchdowns. Don't fall in love with these splash plays. Do the fundamentals right and you have a great future.
And I agree with Mike on this. When you're playing out in the Mountain West Conference or WAC or whatever it's called out there, you're taking shots And that's what he's been doing in the National Football League. Eventually, that's going to come back and bite you. So he's got to figure out how to play the short game and not try and play the long game.
He doesn't have the BYU offensive line against less, you know, second, third tier defense.
You mean like 30-year-old tackles going against 17-year-old high school kids?
I'm with Mike T on the grade, but damn, the kid showed some guts. So I mean, some of the passes he threw were gutsy passes. So a lot of bad sometimes comes with the good and vice versa, but it's. He still shows promise.
Yeah, what people see about Mahomes and Rodgers is the splash plays, but what you also have to recognize is they are who they are because they don't turn the ball over, and they move the chains, and Zach Wilson turns it over. Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, to me, I thought he was the big winner. I'm going to give him an A-. He was the big winner Sunday night. We came in talking about Belichick and Brady. If I'm the Patriots, I think I found my quarterback. We're not talking about him as a rookie. Like, he went out there, and he competed, and Coach Belichick said after the game, hey, we weren't good on third down, but that fourth and three, like, what would have happened if they went for it? I thought he played really well.
They should have gone for it.
I think when you look at it, I give him a B. I thought he played solid. I didn't like some of his mechanics. They just kind of scared me. It looked like to me he was herky-jerky at times and a little nervous, which is fine. Mm-hmm. He's young, and this is a big atmosphere, rain coming down, all that. But a lot of times, if you really study him and watch him, he wasn't setting his feet. And he looked like he was at times.
He doesn't look like Justin Herbert, he tall and proud in the pocket,
you know,
right?
He just didn't. Even on the touchdown pass to the tight end over the middle, the first thing he did was got the ball and threw it. It was like.
Well, can I ask you guys a question? What do you think Kyle Shanahan was saying Sunday night at home watching that game?
Like, nothing.
I wish these guys wouldn't have talked me out of Mac Jones.
Nah, I don't think so. He was ever going to take Mac Jones. I don't think he was ever going to do that.
Trey Lance.
You don't go as an executive. You've been in this position, Mike. You're not trading up to the three spot to not take a quarterback that you essentially everybody said you traded up to get after a week of watching somebody in shorts. And then all of a sudden you say, you know what? No, I just traded up all the way to three when I could have set somewhere where I was at already and picked the same guy.
You're praying. You're saying, Trey Lance, you better work out.
Yeah.
You better work out.
It's a little bit like the Jets now. Like, as good as Zach Wilson is, they're keeping one eye on Sam Darnold.
All I'm saying is I know, Key, you get into the details of the feet not being set. But, damn, I mean, we're talking about a Super Bowl-type environment intensity in this game. When Tom Brady comes back to Coach Belichick and you are now the quarterback that people are comparing to the greatest quarterback of all time.
He got a beat from me, man. What the hell else you want?
I don't know why that people can't follow the plan. Trey Lance was seen as a long-term project, maybe the highest upside, but also the least experienced. We're a couple weeks into the new season, and everyone's like, oh, but, I'm supposed
and
to
Trey Lance didn't look bad in mop-up duty. He looked fine to me.
It's supposed to be like a couple of years to develop a guy.
Right, but all I'm saying is you have a great team right now, and you know Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt a lot. And I love Trey Lance. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, I'd
but
be
let
curious.
Me ask you this, though, Mike. Do they have a great team?
You know, that's fair. I thought their defense would have held Seattle more than it did. That's fair. Their defense has been.
Meyer. Yeah. This is the big one.
Yeah, so it's a D-. And look, guys, just to take you behind the curtain, there is a rhythm in the NFL. I have no problem if you want to go out and all that. Like, that's not up to me to say. But what I can tell you with two decades of experience, travel with your team, there is a rhythm to things. You have 24 hours to do an autopsy, good or bad. Set your roster, look at injuries, and say, okay, Thursday night, long season, take 3 days off. But not to go back with your team, to me, is wrong. The optics are awful. And not to just come out and say, hey, I screwed up, to try to justify it. I was really disappointed in that.
Yeah, see, Mike, I've been on teams, obviously, and you've been in these situations too. We play on a Sunday, we leave right after the game. If there's holdover, we'll leave Monday. It's not, okay, if you want to stay, everybody will stay on Monday. Bus leaves at 10. Our flight leaves at 12. Be your ass on the bus so we can get out of here because we're going to stay over an extra night because whatever the reasons are. Urban Meyer, for whatever reason, thought he was in college football calling games again because he decided to let the team go, like you said, an autopsy. The first thing I was thinking is when you get back to the facility on Sunday night, as bad as y'all are, you need to be in there breaking down film and trying to figure out how to win a damn game. Not at a club getting it in.
Right. And the speech he's giving his players is make good decisions. We're building. Like all the things it eviscerates his own credibility.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Although I will say this, every week they look a little better to me. Like you got to give the devil his due. They competed.
That's fine.
I think they made a lot. I think he made a mistake. I don't think that mistake is a fireable offense.
No one wants to fire.
Some people do. Well, I mean, some people think he should be fired.
I don't want him fired.
I'm just not sitting up here on like a moral, righteous like throne saying, hey, the way you treat, like what you do as your employer, what you do in your own house, that is your business. As long as it does not affect
my team. But to Paul Feinbaum's point earlier, doesn't it feel like this is heading in that direction? And so some people might think, you know what? Why not take care of that? Let's get it out now.
Regardless of whether it feels like it's heading in that direction, yeah, I need to see it.
Yeah.
It needs to happen.
I hear you.
Like, you are here to win games and to show progress with your football team. I agree with your point, Mike. Every great coach I've been around has always dissected the game right after the game. You go back to the facilities. You break down tape. You get Trevor Lawrence in there. The only way I was playing devil's advocate a little bit, it's a long week until your next game, right? Play a Thursday night game. You're off Friday. Once again, not making excuses for it. I just, you know, when people want to go back and say, hey, here's the body of work, Chris Doyle. Okay, poor decision. He got him out of there. Tim Tebow, oh, he brought him as a tight end. He has no business being a tight end. Okay, cut him. And this team has shown progress to a degree. That's all I want to say.
I think they have shown a little bit of progress, but in the end, long weekend, no weekend, whatever the case is. I've been around four head coaches in the National Football League. Actually, five. Well, I don't count Richie Kotite, but anyway. Bill Parcells, Tony Dungy, John Gruden, and Foxy. And none of them did not decide to get on the plane.
I hear you.
You named four pretty good coaches.
They all got on planes.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max
now,
presented.
Us as players, it's a different story.
Different story.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests joined on the Goodyear Hotline. We are brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. And one NFL GM has a franchise-changing decision, to make. And Mike tells us what he should do next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
2 weeks ago, Mike Tannenbaum said Big Ben was done after two more poor performances out of the Steelers were taking it a step further. Here is what our very own Dan Orlovsky said yesterday right here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Mike Tomlin has got to make the difficult decision to move on from Ben Roethlisberger.
That's the end of the season.
No, I would say now.
Can't do it now.
All right, here's my question.
Two games before their bye week.
Bro. They're 1-3.
I know, but I can't do it.
But you get paid to do a lot, to make tough decisions.
Yeah, guy like
Tell me you. Why not doing it.
Because I don't have nothing behind me.
We don't think. We don't
know,
though.
I'm in the building.
So, but they did it to Eli a couple years ago. Tough decision.
But that,
dude, Key, they're
they
the,
drafted that for Eli,
and,
right?
And I get that, no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, they got caught with their pants down. What's the succession plan?
Why do we mention Giants?
But they're a blocked punt away from being 0-4.
I get it.
And they have the worst offense in the NFL the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And the offensive lines, they're not good, but they weren't atrocious yesterday. The Packers don't have a great rush. Ben still won't throw the ball downfield.
Mike? What do you think about what Dan Orlovsky had to say?
I'm glad that Dan's finally listening to me. I've been saying since March. I said Pittsburgh was going to be bad this year and worse next year. And I have a lot of respect for the Rooney family, but they made the same mistake I've made a few times. Like, they rewarded loyalty and not performance. They should have moved on. When they didn't bring back Alejandro Villanueva, David DeCastro, and Marquise Pouncey, the quarterback of their offensive line, they should have said, they're coming back and Ben's coming back, or we're blowing the whole thing up. And the verb they need to use right now is they need to scour for the next quarterback. And here's what they should do, in my opinion. I would sign Cam Newton to a two-year deal because they're not going to be able to draft a quarterback. There are no quarterbacks in next year's draft. And I would see what they have in Dwayne Haskins. Because
should have signed Cam as soon as the season, as soon as he got cut, they should have signed
Better
Cam.
Late than never.
Right. And look, their quarterback next year, in all probability, is either going to be Jimmy Garoppolo or Aaron Rodgers. So what they need to do is give themselves the most leverage possible when they go into that negotiation and know what they have in Cam Newton, know what they have in Dwayne Haskins. That will give them the best chance to win, because the problem they have is it's not unlike Tampa Bay. They have a championship defense and they don't have a quarterback. So wouldn't it be great if in the Super Bowl at the end of the 2022 season, we have Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay defense against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers defense? Like, to me, that would be a dream matchup. So to me, if you're going to be negotiating with both San Francisco and Green Bay for Rodgers and Garoppolo, give yourself the most leverage possible by either having Cam Newton or Dwayne Haskins in terms of an alternative, because if not, you're starting literally from zero.
So but when do you bring in Cam Newton?
10 minutes ago.
So what does he do for you? You're not going to remove Ben Roethlisberger at this point in time.
Why?
Because first of all, I paid him money to come back. We already knew, like you said, Mike, it was probably not going to work out. We kind of knew that. They did it because they thought it was going to work out. Now you're asking them to admit the mistake that they made on their all-time historical franchise Hall of Fame quarterback.
But
they're going to let him ride out into the sunset and see if he can change things around over the next several weeks. Cam Newton's learning curve is so drastic right now. We're getting ready to be in the middle of the season.
Right, but Keith, as an older player, guys, right, he's going to get worse when it gets cold out. Like, it's going to get worse. So, like, why not bring in Cam, who has a much higher ceiling?
But you're talking
not
about letting him ride out into the sunset. You're taking him back to the pasture, man. Like, he may not make it to even get on the horse ski at this rate.
But you got to think about these franchises and the owners and their style in which they do things. They're not going to do that in Pittsburgh to him.
But this
is not Antonio Brown we're talking about. This is not Le'Veon Bell. We're talking about the guy,
but
right?
Don't you think the legacy move that we did work out the contract for you to have a last hurrah. You have had your opportunity. Like, I'm not – just because you've had your opportunity doesn't mean I have to stay with you on this opportunity.
I'm not saying that it's right what they're doing. I'm just saying what I think they're going to do.
Here's the question, because we all agree Roethlisberger's had it, and it was pretty obvious he had it last year. So why bring him back? Here's my question. Once in a while, there will be an athlete. We know Roethlisberger's a Hall of Famer, but we all saw the Last Dance, right? One of the gripes in The Last Dance is that team, the Chicago Bulls, earned the right to see if they could do it again, to keep trying until they couldn't do it anymore. And I know, Mike, in sports, a year too early instead of a year too late. However, sometimes there's a Kobe Bryant. He's done, but you got to bring him back. We're not going to be any good, but this is the end of Kobe. We ain't going to be good anyway right now. Derek Jeter, last season, they don't make the playoffs. He can't play shortstop anymore, but it's Derek Jeter. It's Kobe Bryant. Is Ben Roethlisberger, he's great, but is he Jeter or Kobe? Has he earned that?
No, and look, nobody knows that better than I do. I traded for Brett Favre. Like, he should have retired a Packer. There are very few great endings in football, and Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record, and one of the many reasons is the standards are the standards. The best players play. And at some point, the rest of the team is going to look at him and say, hey, you know what? Like, he's not giving us the best chance to win. And to me, like, this is an opportunity for Mike Tomlin to continue to show his greatness and say, hey, you know what, Ben? You're an all-time great, but it's over.
But you know he's not going to do that, though. You just know they're not. Would I do it? I'd have signed Cam Newton before he went to the Patriots.
Yeah, me too.
If it was me. But they're not going to do that. On top of the Cam Newton situation, is he vaccinated? He's not vaccinated. That's going to play a part in everything that they do. Can they convince him if he's not? On top of that, let me ask you, Mike, because I don't know the answer. You would know from a front office perspective. Is he eligible for a futures deal, Cam Newton?
At the end of the year, he can be, sure. You know, but right now, if he would sign, he would be on an active roster. And Key, you're making a great point. The vaccination issue is real, especially at the quarterback position. But, you know, I would sit down with Cam and say, hey, like, where are you with that? You know, we saw Andrew Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors change his mind. You know, so I would investigate that. Mind? Yeah. I would give Dwayne Haskins a lot more reps at practice, make it more competitive. And here's the other fundamental question, guys. Like, do you think at some point Ben says, hey, like, I don't want to embarrass myself anymore? Like, when it's 4th and 3 and you're checking the ball down behind the line of scrimmage, like, do you really want to have that on
tape? I'll say I always thought the way you guys are talking right now. And I did not like that Jeter started that last year for the Yankees, and I thought bringing Kobe back on that 2-year, $50 million deal was a mistake at the time. But when you look at certain franchises, the storied, historical franchises, certainly that's the Yankees, certainly that's the Lakers, and certainly that's the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jeannie Buss told me when they brought Kobe back that this is Kobe Bryant. We need to show the world how we treat our own. Yeah. And I thought at the time that sounded like an excuse and a rationalization. But you know what? LeBron came not long after. People looked at the way an organization behaves. The Rooney family, you know, and the Steelers, the way they do business. Wait. I could see this as an example of, yup, we bit the bullet that one season, but that's Ben Roethlisberger and we're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hold on, Max. Let me ask you a question. So if Aaron Rodgers was sitting here and it's outcome.
See you later, Ben.
No. And I'm saying, Rodgers is saying, like, I could either be a Bronco or a Steeler. You think it's outcome determinative that he wouldn't be a Steeler because Ben Roethlisberger got benched? I think Aaron Rodgers is going to make the best decision for him.
So no, I don't think it's that tit for tat. I don't think it's that kind of one to one correspondence. I think there's a larger issue about the way certain franchises owned by certain families treat their favorite sons, you know? And I think that's the one argument I could make. Otherwise, I'm with you.
Well,
that's the one argument I could make.
Everything points to somewhat when Max is saying, Mike, and you know this as well as anybody, the Rooney family has always been ahead of the curve on certain issues and things. Even if you go all the way back to the Antonio Brown situation with Ben Roethlisberger, how did they handle that? Whose side did they take? The organization took Ben Roethlisberger's side. Le'Veon Bell, they allowed him to leave. Antonio Brown, they moved on from him. This is what they do, except for Ben Roethlisberger. So in the end, it's like, okay, Ben's got, 13 more games to go, and then that's it. We're going to look to the future, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, much like you said, whether it's Cam Newton, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, if he decides that this is a better situation than Green Bay situation. But right now, what they ought to do is just let Ben just ride off into the sunset.
How hard should the Steelers be hitting that panic button? That's what we're talking about. We'll play to the max.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We play this game on This Just In, a fantastic new show on ESPN, 2 p.m., starring yours truly. 0-50 or to the max, what is our panic level for the following situations? Mike Tannenbaum, we will start with you, Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers. Are you 0-50 or to the max panic?
Max. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's over. It is over. You can honor him. You can celebrate him. But Ben Roethlisberger is no longer a competitive frontline quarterback. And what's scary, guys, get used to saying this. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, they're getting better. Pittsburgh doesn't have an answer at quarterback.
It's to the max, like Mike is saying. There's no question on the Steelers and being Roethlisberger. It's not to the max on Coach Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, if the Pittsburgh Steelers decide, oh, well, you know, we're going to blow everything up, he'll be hired the next day.
Yeah, it's Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's to the max. I just would be shocked, as much as we talk about the Rooney family doing, you know, what we deem them to do the right thing by Big Ben. I don't think that's the right thing, but Key thinks that's what they're going to do. I have a hard time believing that Mike Tomlin is just going to sit there and continue to build a losing record when my man's never had a losing record as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is what's bizarre to me. My panic meter was all the way to the max last season when you saw what happened at the end of last season. They have no succession plan. Why haven't they really found their quarterback of the future who could be getting reps?
It's hard.
Yeah, you got to be able to be willing to make sacrifices. Brian Flores and the Dolphins is your panic meter, 0-50 or all the way to the max, Mike.
50. You know, it's still a young season. They got a good defense. Look, Tua's going to have to come back and play well. Like, he was a top pick last year. If he plays well, they'll have a chance to be in the playoff run. If he doesn't, it's going to be a long year.
It's to the max as far as I'm concerned, because they're looking at a guy that came out in the same draft as Justin Herbert. And they're sitting there kicking themselves and saying, well, how did we fall for that trick? Now, Justin Herbert is getting ready to lead his team potentially to a division title and a deep playoff run when you had an opportunity to take him. Now, here we are again on another one of Bill Belichick's assistant coaches. Get a few wins here and there, start to look a little bit good. And I know he's had quarterback issues. But is that really all on the quarterback, or is it the way their system is being run? You got two co-offensive coordinators and you got Charlie Fry as a quarterback coach communicating all three with the quarterback.
Could you imagine Justin Herbert with that Miami defense? Oh.
Finally they got it right after
the next
all these
Dan
years.
Marino. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's probably 50. I think losing Tua allows you some room to kind of clean up all the offensive coordinator issues. But, I mean, just once again, I mean, injuries to Tua, Will Fuller, once again, injured. I mean, he's always injured, man. I feel for the guy. But those injury concerns, I think, buy him time.
Fast guys that can't catch.
I'm at a 50 because I have not given up on Tua if he's healthy. But I need to see him stay healthy, and I need to see him – his brand is in trouble at the very least. The idea of him as a franchise quarterback is close to over. He's got to get healthy and he's got to start performing.
Their defense, though, man, they're giving up a lot of points per game.
I'm just telling you.
That was a no-name defense, and he got a little lucky last year.
It's early in Brian Flores' coaching career as a head coach, but here's another one of those assistants. I'm just saying, here's another one.
All right, panic meter, 0-50 or to the max, all the way to the max, Matt Nagy and the Bears, Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah, Matt. Well, I actually technically had it incomplete. Who's calling the plays and who's the quarterback? But in all seriousness, I have concerns about Coach Nagy. I just think the way he's managed this has been awful. I would have said Justin Fields from day one, rep one, you're my quarterback, and never look back. And until that happens, I'm max.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a 50 because I know coach speak. And, Jay doesn't like that, but I like coach speak, and I know what he's saying. Andy Dalton's our QB1, when he gets healthy, we got to assess it. We got to look at it, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Dalton's healthy. Why don't you go get some more ice? Justin Fields, you're the quarterback.
Key yesterday on our phone call was like, man, I get this Matt Nagy keeps talking. This keeps bothering me. Now all of a sudden he's 50%. It's been to the max the whole time with Matt Nagy. It's been that way since last year.
I'm at a 50, and I will tell you why. Key pointed it out yesterday. Matt Nagy's record as a head coach.
Better than Shanahan's.
It ain't that bad.
Don't get confused.
Like, he
by
wins
the
more than you would expect for a guy who takes this much heat in the press. And also, I don't like starting rookie quarterbacks as rookie quarterbacks, like, especially early in the season. I'm old school that way.
You mean like ones that take in the championship game?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because this craze to win on the rookie deal, when in fact, like last 6, 7, 8 Super Bowls, mostly it's been veteran quarterbacks, has gotten out of hand. I agree with the idea of it, but we're rushing so fast to get these rookies in there. I think it's detrimental to their development.
You got to pay the rookie regardless, though, Max.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
Because you're not moving on from your quarterback that you deem as a franchise guy. Just
yeah, but while you don't pay him a lot, that's when everyone thinks, oh, you got to make hay now.
Nah,
so to speak. Make hay.
That's not
all right,
true.
Ready?
We are talking about Andy Dalton, right?
Joe Judge and the Giants, 0-50 or to the max panic meter, Mike Tannenbaum.
50. Look, you got your quarterback in Daniel Jones. That was a huge win. Let's face it, for the franchise, it brought the nose down on Joe Judge. Now let's get a little bit more consistent on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, there's a ton of weapons there. So I'm right down the middle on them.
Here we go. 50 again. I'm agreeing with Mike. 50% here. Joe Judge was, you know, people was questioning him and Gettleman and Jason Garrett. They went into New Orleans and popped the New Orleans Saints. And so now you're like, oh, okay. But here we are again. Another one of those Bill Belichick assistant coaches. Here's another one.
You see, I'll say to the max just because – I think Dave Gettleman is to the max as well. And that's what makes it to the max for Joe Judge, because if a new GM comes in, maybe I don't like the way that you've managed things thus far. I want to implement a new style, a new system. That's why I think it's to the max.
See, that's a Giants fan. I'm a Giants fan. I'm to the max, and it has nothing to do with Joe Judge. It has to do with Dave Gettleman. This is year 4, and I'm supposed to be, oh, I'm only on a 50 because they're 1-3 in year 4? Get all the way out of town. And if you're going to show up in New York and you are from Boston, have the decency not to have a thick, terrible Boston accent like Mike Tannenbaum. He talks like a regular person. All right.
Jeez.
Feels like 0-50 or to the max. Panic meter. Mike Vrabel and the Titans, Mike Tannenbaum.
We're getting close to 100 there. I'm going to give him a mulligan because no A.J. Brown, no Julio Jones, and they almost tied the game. So I like Tennessee. I like where they're going. I like the program, but losing to the Jets is not good. But if they're healthy, I think they still win the South.
Yeah, I think if they're 100% healthy, bringing Julio Jones, we saw what he was able to do a week ago when he was healthy and they gave him the football. It's at 50, but here we are again. Even though he's not a Bill Belichick assistant, he played for Bill. No, I'm just kidding.
Any Bill Belichick tree. Yeah.
I just want to say something, and this is going to strike everybody, and they should stop in their tracks. The Jets have been averaging 7 points per game this season. They put up 27 on the Titans. 27 points on the Titans. The Titans' defense is a major, major issue. I know no A.J. Brown. I know no Julio Jones. That's just, wow.
What did I say yesterday to Rex Ryan? Here's another one of those defensive coaches that is supposed to be a defensive guru, and all of a sudden the worst part of their team is the defense.
Yeah,
the best part of their team is the offense.
That shouldn't happen, although a coach you mentioned, the great Mike Tomlin, sometimes the defense isn't as good as the offense. Sometimes they're playing matchups with wideouts running all over the place.
Mike T's defenses have been pretty damn good.
But there have been years where they haven't been great. The point is, a great head coach figures out ways to win. I'm 100 to the max on the Titans because the defense is that bad. I don't see how they're going to be a winning team with
Mike
the defense.
Mike T, don't let the Jags get a win versus next weekend.
Who is the best team in the NFL? By the way, we play, as I mentioned, 0-50 or to the max.
Detroit Lions.
To the max. On This Just In. You know who's on that show?
You, me. Handsome. You're
ESPN, 2 p.m. Eastern. That's right. Thank you for that, Key. I agree with that, as a matter of fact. Who is the best team in the NFL? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Thank you, Mike Tannenbaum.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.